This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into the Letterman Lounge, where it's always beautiful and sunny and the temperature is just right and there's no snow falling in here. We are back to talk about the Ohio State Buckeyes and a lot more, as we always do on Letterman Live. It is brought to you by Roosters. It's a fun casual joint. We've got Justin Zwick. We've got Nicole Cox. We've got Bobby Carpenter. We've got Jeremy Birmingham. We've got a show. Let's get into it. Ohio State very, very busy last week on the coaching trail, and we're going to get into that, and we're going to talk. Nicole probably has a lot more predictions for 2022.
Gotcha.
But Berm got to go be a fan and sit in the stands again at a football game on Saturday. Probably tailgated.
I did.
What was it like?
It was a little scary because I was with my brother, who's a Raiders fan, and so everything we did for the game was themed around his plans. So, like, Friday night, we went to a Raiders party, and then Saturday, we went
is this an older or younger brother?
A Raiders tailgate.
Who has the veto power in this family?
Kudos to the Raiders fans. They travel well. They were respectful. There was no shenanigans.
What? Well, that's good.
There were no shenanigans. Obviously, the Bengals took care of business for the first time since I was 13 in the playoffs, and that's pretty awesome.
It was a great game to watch.
Yeah, first Bengals game I've been to in 9 years, so I figured if there was one guy I was going to trust with my mental health, it was going to be Joe Burrow, and he didn't let me
He delivered.
You mean Joe Bono with those glasses?
Call him whatever you want.
Hey, I love the confidence. I love that he wore those.
By the way,
it's amazing.
Okay, did you see, Berm, those pictures of high school?
Yeah, the ones I posted last night.
Yes. I mean, of course, you had pictures of high school dudes, all three.
All on his phone. Dudes. He's got albums.
Oh, gosh. What the heck is the dude's
whole
name
volume
on SNL? I did a sweet
side. Pete Davidson.
Pete Davidson. Yeah. When did Joe Burrow go full Slim Shady with the?
That was like something that his team did for the playoffs in his senior year.
Was that a senior year?
Yeah.
I mean,
called that game his senior year. He had a heck of a state championship.
I mean, look at that. What are we talking about here?
The conversation around the stadium on Saturday, there was a lot of people talking about all the times the Bengals had fallen short in the past.
Is there a track record of that?
There is, actually. So there was a lot of talk about all the juju, and I just started to tell people, no more juju, just JoJo.
He played for Pittsburgh.
Just JoJo. And JuJu played for Pittsburgh.
And they're done.
They're done, but JoJo
R.I.P. Chives.
JoJo goes on.
What about the rest of the experience? Like, you got to go to a stadium and drink. And
that was fun. I mean,
was it packed? Was the stadium
so jealous?
A new stadium record at Paul Brown Stadium for the largest crowd there. I mean, it was loud. It was a good experience. The weather was cold, but it wasn't precipitating. It wasn't really windy. It was just a nice cold, January day.
Classic Ohio day. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, love it.
It could have been worse. The forecast had changed all week, and it was supposed to be snow, and then there wasn't. And, you know, you watch that happen, and again, I told JC before the show, but to look around as that game ends and you see a lot of Bengals fans who aren't always the group of fans that people think are like the most committed to their team.
In all fairness, because you have to wonder how committed the owner is.
The ownership.
Right.
Yeah.
And so there's
as committed as their ownership.
There's a lot of like weird feelings for Bengals fans because you expect them to disappoint you. But to look around at the end of the game and see a bunch of grown men crying and, you know, families hugging.
It's exciting. Oh,
now, were you one of them, or did have the hot wings before?
I was
my eyes are
sweating.
Oh, no, it's the wings, guys.
It's nuclear.
The wings.
I was pretty happy just to watch it. I mean, I have, growing up in Northwest Ohio, not being like a Cincinnati guy who grew up, I mean, I've always been a Bengals fan and a Reds fan for some reason, but to see those people who their entire lives, like, they come in waiting for that moment again. It's pretty cool.
For
Joe Burrow to be the guy to do it for him, I mean, it's a nice
local story. Kid. If I have to be a local, I'm like, Athens, I wouldn't define as local. Hamilton?
Yeah.
I'll even give you a Springfield, a Centerville, maybe even like Dayton.
Miami's better.
I think Athens local, just because it's small town.
I mean, in Ohio.
My family's
more local
from there.
Than Chicago.
He's in Ohio.
He's an in-state guy.
They started the broadcast, and they're like, here he is. He's from Southern Ohio. And then they put up the map.
Yeah,
I
guess he's maybe Southwestern. and Cincinnati could not be more Southwestern. But, he's close. And then they put the length on.
But Ohio comes down to like one southern point pretty much.
Athens funneled him down.
Yes, they funneled.
Yeah.
But
momentum.
It's fun. It's fun to watch.
I'm excited for them.
How many Buckeyes are on that team? There's four, right?
Joe Mentum.
Vaughn Bell.
Vaughn Bell. Prince.
Isaiah Prince, Sam Hubbard.
Sam Hubbard, so four?
Yeah.
Sam Hubbard, the golden
guy. I mean, four and a half. Four I mean, with half. Joey, I mean, I guess, yeah. Wow.
Isaiah Prince, who...
He had his hands full on Saturday, didn't he?
He did. He did. And he's not a guy... Joe probably knows what he's getting over there with Isaiah Prince, given they're on the same team. Isaiah Prince, I think, can be like a good swing tackle. Maybe he can improve.
False start a game.
But where he's at right now, I don't wouldn't define him as someone you would feel great about protecting your perimeter.
It's... As they go forward, which they did. They won a game.
That's what matters.
All that matters, yeah.
Win in advance.
If Burrow can continue to handle that pressure, because you know that he's going to keep getting it moving forward.
Especially because, you know, Vrabel's got something funny dialed up for him on Saturday.
Just, you know, Ohio State ties everywhere in the playoffs. That's what's really fun about this time of year. That developed here. Mantra still coming through. Nicole, who are you a Bengals, Browns fan? What's your NFL?
Hold on. She likes them all.
No, well, I guess that. That could be true. But
wherever the Buckeyes are.
We're Texans. We're Texans fans, so it's, you know, been a rough year. But I'm excited for the Bengals just because a lot of our friends are Bengals fans and they're the underdog. You know, they haven't made it this far. And anytime you see a team like make it this far when they haven't in so long, it's just exciting. It's exciting for all of them. And you can tell like they're just so happy to have reached that point instead of just taking it for granted. So
maybe it's just Cincinnati's time. The Reds are now the longest tenured baseball team to not win a playoff series. They haven't won one since 1995.
Somehow blew a 3-0 lead or 2-0 lead to the Giants. But
I recall. That is irrelevant. Now it is their turn to fix it moving forward, and the Lions will be next for Detroit.
So Saturday, if you're looking to have a watch party for the Bengals and the Titans, make sure that you call Roosters, get some takeout.
Yes.
You need to just get
chips.
Can't wait until then.
Chips.
I think fried pickles, perhaps, on
is
appetizer.
Tuesday. Yes. Fried pickles. They're supposed to be fried pickles.
I couldn't tell if it was just because Jay-Z was here and he wanted to.
Well, yeah, you know. You know how I go. Taking these home.
They look really good today.
They do.
Fried pickles they always all week. Do, but they look great.
They're twice the size. They're playoff ready.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
You can add that to your order on Saturday. It's going to be another great weekend. Berm is, I know he can't wait. He's counting it down.
I'm going to be in Miami. So I'll be watching the game, hopefully, while I'm working in sunny South Florida. Hopefully get a chance to be done that day in time to be in a hotel bar by 4:30.
All right. That's enough about Cincinnati. Let's talk about Columbus.
Go Bengals.
How badly did Ryan Day need to make these defensive moves, Bob?
Well, I think the Jim Knowles hiring, I think, was expected, and Matt Barnes. And so it's always, you know, that one-for-one trade. It's like a substitution in college football. In the NFL, like, hey, you want to bring in a coach? Well, he'll be a special senior advisor to, you know, the head coach or a defensive assistant or whatever it is. You can get creative. And so unless it's an analyst, which they're not technically allowed to coach on the field.
Mm, yes, and nobody would ever break that rule anywhere in college football.
On the field coaching. You know,
on the sidelines, totally okay. Just not on the field.
Come over here. I can't talk to you unless you
talk
to me
first.
I'm behind
the bench.
But, you know, so you knew that Matt Barnes, Jim Knowles and Matt Barnes, have known that for a while. And then it comes down to, okay, well, how many other changes are they going to make? You know, Jim Knowles, it was rumored, you know, he's linebacker's coach. So if he's coming in, he's going to take linebackers. So where does that leave Al Washington? You know, I was under the impression that Kerry Combs had the ability to stay if he wanted to. You know, and a lot of things does prior to the bowl game, and then all of a sudden, you know, he decides to leave, and I don't know if that's because he wants to pursue NFL options. Maybe there just wasn't a great feel or fit with Jim Knowles. You know, maybe it's, you know, something potentially there's a switcheroo going in with Cincinnati and Perry Alano. So, you know, they bring him and Tim Walton in, and I think that's good. Jim Knowles is going to take the linebackers. I don't know if, like, all of those things need to happen. I love Tim Walton. I'm glad he's going to be here. He's a Buckeye, number one, played here. He's coached in college football for a number of years, but he's been in the NFL for about the last 13, 14 years. Yeah. I was with him up in Detroit. I know he's a good coach, really good coach. And Jalen, whenever you have the social media clip of Jalen Ramsey saying he's one of the best D-backs coaches you're going to find, like, all right. Like,
yeah, sold.
Hey, the recruiting process already.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. You're like, can he recruit?
That clip will be on.
Like, he played at Ohio State, so that automatically gives you credibility because now you're not selling, you're telling about your experiences, and that's the thing Heartline has going for him. It's like, I don't have to sell you. I'll just tell you what it's done for me in my life.
Yeah.
And then you have NFL experience, and what people view as one of the top, if not the top corner in the NFL, and Jalen Ramsey coming out and having a massive endorsement to you. Like, okay, you've got to be pretty bad at your job to screw all of those things up. And so I think it's good, great he's here. Kerry Combs, great developer of corners, great recruiter of corners. And I, some guy, moron on Twitter, was like, "It's great. What has he done? All he did." Well, he's like, "If you look at Ward, who did he have? Ward, yeah. Apple, and Conley." He goes, "And one, only one of them's good in the NFL." I'm like, "Number one." He goes, "They didn't get any better." I'm like, "You have to recruit the guys to get them here. So you've got to recruit the good players. They just don't show up." He's done a great job of that, and then he developed them into first rounders. So he doesn't coach them anymore in the NFL. So what happens after
that? Sean Lattimore's pretty rich.
By the way, we omitted
guys have done okay.
We omitted Roby. We omitted Lattimore. My goodness, there was someone else that was in there too that I can't. He also recruited Jeffrey Okuda, mm-hmm. Damon Arnett. I'm like, number of guys. I think it's safe to say that he's produced more first round corners than anyone else during his tenure in college football.
He set a record.
So, like, I was like, I'm done with you. So, don't give me this good riddance. It is going to be a loss. Now, maybe Tim Walton can replace all of that. And, you know, Perry Ilano will be able to do some stuff too. He did help develop, you know, Ahmad Sauce Gardner down there at Cincinnati, and then also Kobe Bryant, who won the Thorpe Award. So both of those guys are going to be drafted high. And so it seems like it's going to be good, but still, the only guy who was retained was Larry Johnson. And so now you have these other guys that they're going to be dumped into the stew together, and you essentially have three to 5 months to get this thing kind of worked out to make sure that everybody fully understands their priorities, what their roles are going to be, how we coach, who takes over what, making sure you're communicating the scheme the right way. Like, there's a lot of things that need to be overcome here. And not that it can't be, but it's just not as easy as like, hey, I need a new alternator on my car and just drop one in.
You're kind of uniquely qualified here to talk about these guys. Obviously, you played with Tim Walton, or he coached you. You obviously probably have a pretty good relationship still with Luke down at UC. What was Luke's reaction to Perry Ilano as a coach?
He loved him. I mean, I don't think there was, like, he wasn't pushing him out the door by any stretch. And you look at what they did this year in their secondary, it was pretty good. It was pretty good. So, you know, I think if he was on the staff with Fickell, being able to do that's a pretty ringing endorsement that you're going to find. So I don't know Perry personally. But doing a couple of their games this year, like, their secondary, as people will talk about, was very good for a group of five school. I mean, that's about as good a secondary as you're going to be able to produce against one of the best offenses in college football.
The interesting thing for me, as I look at it, obviously from the recruiting lens, is that Jim Knowles is not going to be asked to do much at all recruiting-wise in the next few months. His job is to get the alignment of the defense, as Bob said, and find a way to make sure these guys all mesh. So does Parker Fleming take a more active role now in helping recruit linebackers? Because Jim Knowles is not going to be out there really recruiting linebackers. I mean, he's been on the job 3 weeks now, mm-hmm. and it wasn't until 2 days ago that he had his first conversation with Sonny Styles, and that guy signed. So it's not like he's not out there talking to kids. So
he did talk to Diamante Trainum.
Yeah, I mean, that's one, because Chip said, "I need to talk to this guy," and called him.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are some new roles that are going to have to happen on the defense, and we talked about this last week with Ryan Day's, I think, desire to be more CEO and less hands involved in everything. It almost feels like he's now going to have to do more to help defensive recruiting than he did before.
I wanted to bring up this point for Nicole, that Bob mentioned Kerry Combs' track record and everything he gave. And sometimes when you have these situations where this was not an out-and-out firing, but the coordinator role didn't play out the way anybody envisioned. In the last 2 years weren't, well, for Kerry Combs' second go-around, what he wanted. And I know he had the speech in October that Nicole and Berm and everybody who heard it mm-hmm. appreciated. But he's been doing this, take out the 2 years of the Titans, for a decade at a very high level, and you won't find anyone who cares about Ohio State any more than Kerry Combs. So it's not something I think that should be celebrated, even if maybe in the long run it turns out better or it works out for Ohio State.
I don't know if it could work out better.
That's why immediately hit the backspace
self-edit
on that it could work out fine, but that there should be some tribute, I think, to what Kerry Combs did.
Oh, absolutely. I think wherever Kerry Combs ends up, they are getting a gem. I mean, I just think that I'm still kind of baffled by, like, what happened, because he is such, in my opinion, such a great coach, and he believes in those kids. He is invested in who they are as a person and as a player, which I think is very, I just think that's very important. I mean, I agree with what you guys were saying about you have to have some crazy kids that like could just, you know, fly off the handle. But I
Nicole's shanks somebody on board with the wild card.
Yeah,
Carrie's the only guy that was able to still recruit those guys.
Yeah. He cares about everyone, and anybody that's passionate and is all in with any job they do, I feel like it works out that they're the best at it. So I'm questioning like what happened here, why it didn't work out, but I'm just hoping that just means there's something out there that's going to be better for him at this time in his life. So, but obviously I'm really devastated he's going. So it'll be interesting this year. Yeah.
Jay-Z.
Yeah. It's, you know, to go back to the original question of did it need to all happen? I don't think it, I didn't foresee this happening, right. I guess. I thought maybe Larry would retire. I thought with the Barnes, you know, that first one that went down, Knowles coming in, Barnes leaving. You know, I think Carey surprised the heck out of me. I don't know, you know, what happened or why he decided to do what he did or if he did decide it. But, you know, I thought he would be back because I don't know what else you do in his position, right? I mean, Do you go be a defensive back coach somewhere else? I mean, you're doing it at Ohio State. Now, I know it can be hard going through what he went through last year, and maybe that wound is still there for him, and he just wanted a fresh start. But I think with the Knowles hire, there's a lot of different ways they could have gone, and they decided just to get rid of everybody and get some new faces in, some new ideas. I feel like they're bringing in two guys to replace one in the secondary in a way. I know that's not it because I know Carey will coach certain positions, but it kind of feels that way to me. And, you know, like you said, you hope those guys are able to get you back to where where you're used to being as far as secondary coaches go, and that would be a huge win. So it'll be interesting to see how they all kind of fit in. I think bringing the two – because there's two, did I read correctly, two GAs or somebody coming along
there's
with.
There's an army.
There's a few people. I think, you know, you guys talked about how it might be hard to implement everything and how they're going to go about that. I think having those helpers might be able to say, hey, we've been through this all before. We can kind of help our defensive coordinator explain to everybody and, you know, maybe take some off of Knowles' plate and let these guys who've been through it, who've been around it, kind of help coach it to the defensive staff as well.
What did Marcellus Wallace say? That's just pride messing with you, right? Mm. Kerry Combs is a proud man.
I'm not sure that's like, exactly he's word for
they
word.
Speak English.
Yes, I believe they do. You know, these coaches are at their core extreme competitors, and it's frustrating for someone like Kerry Combs, I'm sure, to have to deal with what's happened in the last year and a half, and sometimes you just need to make that clean break. I think we all expect that. If this likely turns into him being a trade with Perry Eliano and Carey at UC coaching corners and probably as a co-defensive coordinator down there with Mike Tressel and hoping to write his story again, because the last year and a half has sort of been taken away from him a touch with COVID and with everything else. And now you just hope that it works out best for both parties, because Ohio State, Ryan Day had to make a very difficult decision. And that decision to say, Carey, we love you, we want you here, but if you can't get over that hump and you know, put the...
Well, there's also a part of this I would interject that it's not purely a Ryan Day or Kerry Combs move, where if you're saying, well, would you like to be a position coach? Sure. Okay. Here's your role. You can't make $1.2 million to be a cornerbacks coach. That decision would be made above Ryan Day's head, and you don't have as much as...
I don't know if it should be.
Well, maybe it shouldn't be, but that's the way it is, and especially if a big slice of that pie is now $1.9 million going to Jim Knowles, and you're trying to
make a second pie.
Make a bigger pie.
I mean, I understand where you're coming from.
LSU's pie is huge.
I'm just going to say that's another part of this that's not purely about Carey's desire or Ryan's desire or anybody else's, that, you know, if you're being asked to potentially give up $500,000 or $600,000, right, that could sting your wallet as much as your ego.
Your ego's already being jabbed, and now your pocket's being plucked, and that's an unfortunate combination.
So I think that's part of it. But, you know, Nicole, when you're – these are pretty significant.
Nicole, how much money would it take for you to keep this job but to have to wash dishes all the time and not do what you love to do, but you're just a dishwasher.
I mean, you're still doing something that you like to
do,
right?
You're still doing
a lot of things that you like.
How is that same?
You're almost doing everything except making the big time decisions.
You're still in the building.
You're making
that would be hard, because I love
you're used
my
to being
job.
In charge and
I
making
love,
your decisions.
And not the being, I just love what comes with my job. So I
you
guess
love being the boss.
Gosh, like I don't know, because I guess, I mean, I love working with everybody here. So I guess if I was washing dishes and making
you're
this
giving,
game.
I would have way too be, much credit for this.
Yeah,
for
the
this
dishes.
They didn't ask Kerry Combs to go start making the dishes.
Yeah, they're not asking him to cut the field before crushed practice.
It. Crushed it.
And Nicole is also way too good at her job for you to suggest that she should go from this to that wall right behind somebody.
Guys, that's how I
something
started.
I could be.
I started as a hostess. And
with the
I didn't
hostess
wash as many dishes, but I started as a hostess.
I didn't wash as many dishes.
Mm-hmm.
But these changes, now that you are a boss, the boss, in my opinion, I mean, these are pretty significant changes. That's sometimes but you have to have fresh ideas, and any business is going to probably come to situations like Ryan Day face where, all right, going to have to part ways, and maybe having four new people in here, if not better, can at least sustain or find ways to enhance, as Urban Meyer used to say all the time. Mm. Like, you can't just stay the same forever. We all learned that during COVID as well. Like,
absolutely,
there has to be some changes.
You can't.
Evolving.
You have to grow, or it dies. You know, it. You just do. I mean, we use that term a lot here, growing in our stores and everything. So, I wonder too if maybe Kerry had his own personal goals too, of things that he wanted to accomplish in his career. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's what's helped make him as successful as he is today. I just hope he knows that. I mean, I guess I didn't play football, so my opinion doesn't matter at all, but
it does matter.
But he is just one of the most successful coaches around because of the impact he has left on all these kids, on everyone around him. And that's where, like, you guys, now at your age, you look back on what the coaches did for you and the impact, you know, well, our age.
Everyone except for Jay-Z.
Okay. No, I'm just realizing how old I am. Makes me real.
Yeah.
Her point is, well, struck.
I mean, Berm trying to pretend like he's not the oldest.
Her point is,
he dropped
is,
that 13
course,
years old the last time they won a playoff
game. Don't listen
game.
To
do the math.
Don't listen to the idiots on Twitter who are bad mouthing Kerry Combs. The people that actually he dealt with on a daily basis have nothing but great things to say about Kerry Combs, and never will, you know, go
he's
to the go to the Twitter well and throw darts for some reason. And, you know, I don't want to – I think we need to talk about Al Washington as well. I mean, it's a guy who came back to Ohio, came back to Columbus where he was born and raised. And, again, it's just sometimes things just don't work out. And the last couple of years have been a crazy scenario where you go from being extremely inexperienced at linebacker to being experienced only at linebacker to then being extremely inexperienced at linebacker. And that sort of volatility made his job pretty difficult. And then you have four transfers, and then you have all injuries.
Oh, yeah.
I mean – he landed, obviously, on his feet pretty great with a defensive line job at Notre Dame on Sunday that he was hired for. But
well, it goes back to that question. Did it need to happen? Probably not.
Right,
Ryan could have said, hey, listen, we were young. All the stuff you just talked about, we had this happen, we had this happen, we had this happen. We don't need to fire all these guys. We were just young, inexperienced. We're going to be better.
That's the guy Ryan Day worked with at Boston College. It's someone he's known for a long time. You don't want to have to make these decisions. Yeah. It's not something that Ryan Day, I can't imagine, woke up one day and said, yeah, I can't wait to do this.
Fire all these guys.
Well, I think that's why I phrased it that way, because I think we can all sit here and objectively say that Ohio State's defense did not play to the level that was expected, and it kept them from winning a championship last year. But the other factors, I think, is what Ryan Day had to sit and evaluate and honestly say, all right, well, there's a couple years now to look at with the Barnes and Combs situation. And COVID was part of it. And then he elected after 2020 to stay the course and see that through. Then you have another dose of inexperience in a bunch of first-time starters. And
a lot of injuries through the offseason.
Mm-hmm. All of this that you could say, all right, well, if you want to find another excuse and you want to stick it out again, you certainly could. There could have been an opportunity for him to do that. But he didn't. And for anyone who's, I guess, wondering if Ryan Day is being realistic about what it's going to take to win championships, I think replacing three people on the defensive side of the ball tells you he's willing to make aggressive moves and that he doesn't look at 2021 as acceptable or going to write off the inexperience. Because I think there's a part, Bob, that after 1 year for all these first-time starters, they're naturally going to get better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you'd have kept the entire staff together, those players are going to be more familiar with what it takes to play. They're going to have another year in the strength program. A lot of the elements of the 4-2-5, they were starting to be in place with three safeties last year. You'd expect some element of growth no matter what. But if you're looking for next level, you maybe if this is obviously the route they felt.
I think you're looking at the term transformational growth.
Transformation
is what we're looking at. Not just the linear growth path, but we want something that
transforms,
hockey stick exponential growth. And so
love that.
Okay.
As you sit here and you look at it, I think Justin, what you said, do all these things need to happen? Could some of them maybe have happened? You know, did everybody need to leave except Larry Johnson? I think some of that was obviously on some of the individual coaches, but here's what people forget. You know, it was a BFD to get Al Johnson to come down here from Michigan. People talked about how great of a recruiter he was. He was up and comer. His dad played here. The connections to Columbus, getting Kerry Combs back, bringing him in. People really spoke highly of Matt Barnes. Like, it wasn't like they settled on these guys.
Right.
And so that's why Al Washington got a job at Notre Dame right away. Yeah. That's why Kerry is going to be able to get a job. That's why Matt Barnes is already the coordinator at Memphis. It wasn't like these guys were on the street and couldn't find gainful employment. They're still very well respected. And sometimes it's just the mix. And like you said, the confluence of all these events that when you look at it in totality, you're like, yeah, maybe we need to tweak. Well, you know, when you start tweaking with things, well, other things, the pie starts to move, and then eventually you kind of have to choose. And some people want to step out. You know, I don't want that role. This is going to be better. I'd rather go pursue it somewhere else.
A separate pie.
A separate
they want
pie.
Their own pie.
But I do believe that we need another pie to be able to serve with. That's a big piece.
That's, I mean, you got to have a lot of hunger to get to a championship level.
Huge,
sometimes that means
huge.
Two pies.
Two pies.
Nicole, we made predictions for 2022 last week, and I didn't prepare you for this question.
That's
so
okay.
I'm ready to see. We're just going to, as part of your continued growth and transformational development on the show, we're just going to pop it on you.
Yeah.
So today's the NFL draft deadline. Mm-hmm. You okay over here?
Mm-hmm.
Great. Cool. Zach Harrison's coming back. So I think there's
he announced that fully already?
In a Zach Harrison way. He just posted the date of the open.
9/3/22.
He did confirm to me.
And then in a very eloquent text message to Berm said,
Yeah.
Oh, gotta love it.
So it's two sources.
Some people would put a video out. He's just like, yep.
He was very straight to the point there. So he's coming back. So the point is that the roster is taking shape. We know for the most part who's going to be playing for Ohio State next year. Who are you most excited to see transformationally grow in this offseason and help the Buckeyes next year?
Well, out of just our discussions today, I'm going to just say the entire defensive line just because I'm just curious. You know, this is all just kind of wondering why all these changes were made and just want to see like how much of a difference it's going to make. Not that anybody did their job poorly, because I don't believe that at all, but just to see if maybe all of them, you know, work together well and mesh well, and just to see how they kind of do.
So Zach Harrison and Jack Sawyer and JT Tuimoloau with another year of development there. Javon,
all guys that a lot of people are going to be excited to see next year, right?
Someone who's not talked about a lot that Berm and I have mentioned, maybe playing at that three technique, give Tyler Friday back. I know Bob's been impressed with his traps workout.
Oh, Coach, Tyler Friday has the world's biggest traps, especially for the Buckeyes. I mean, it's a straight Debo Friday situation. He's looking really good. I mean,
so Schlegs was here when he was a freshman or something.
They
used to have trap battles.
It's a trapezoid situation. He's looking really good. Maybe, like you said, he kicks down, plays a little three technique, and do some different stuff. You know, coming off that, was it ACL, knee injury, I believe?
Knee injury,
yeah, so he's going to be back from that.
Leg injury.
Lower extremity injury. But, you know, his development, you look at JTT, you look at man, Jack Sawyer. I was going to say Sam Hubbard. I'm like, that's about 6 years too late. Jack Sawyer. There's
Javonte Jean-Baptiste return.
Yeah. Javonte, hopefully we get the production.
Ty Hamilton.
I mean, that could be
And Teron Vincent played the best game of his career in the Rose Bowl.
Yep. He really did.
I agree.
Is he gone?
He's back too.
He's back.
Again? Oh, I thought he was gone.
Is this a sixth year for him?
No, this will be five.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
So, I mean, they're going to have a lot of experience coming back. They looked good.
And Jerron Cage and Tyleek Williams.
Yeah. Tyleek Williams, big.
And Jerron Cage is coming back. I think that one will be a 60-year.
They need some consistency from Tyleek Williams. We've seen flashes, but he needs to produce like he did early on in the season. So I like Nicole's. I like where she's at right there. Because it's an experienced group coming back.
Yeah. Cool. Get it.
Perfect.
Well, it's a lot of guys who, you know.
Coming back with a lot to prove, too, right?
Yeah, a lot to prove, and some guys who all got to wet their beak last year, you know, and get a little taste of what the action was.
That's right. On the second pie.
Wetting those beaks.
Let's get to ours after our break.
Cool. Take a break. You want Nicole out of here? That's rude.
I think we just need to really take a moment
to think about it. I think it's because Chives.
He sprung it on everybody.
You did.
Telling us
it's also because I see Chives out of the corner of my eye going.
Yeah, and he's the producer, and he makes the rules. Yeah. So There's a lot going on. Nicole said last week they're just getting ready for March Madness, but now we have Bengals
and the
playoff
Super Bowl. We have an early bird special. So call in,
there it
you
is.
Get a discount for ordering your wings early on Super Bowl Sunday. It works out better for everyone, just for the kitchen and everything.
How big is
and
the
discount? You asked me really quick.
Ooh.
I'm gonna have to get back to you on that.
Okay.
I should really know
next
that.
Week.
I'm so homework. Sorry,
you have
guys. I don't
want to
say
Nicole.
The wrong. Hey, what's the early bird discount?
Well, Austin always says on Appetizer Tuesday that all appetizers are $2. So I have to constantly correct him on that. So
I'm just making a
the
push.
Appetizer Tuesday. Yeah, it is featured $2 for sure. The featured appetizer.
Featured appetizer. Not all.
1%.
Well, what happened?
Or he was telling me to wait.
Nicole, what happened was when there was when you weren't here
was.
And it was TBD, I said it could just be all appetizers for $2. And I thought that's my new running platform is I'm going to turn all appetizers for $2 on Tuesday.
20% if they pick up the order between 11 and 3.
Yep.
What a deal.
Yeah.
How about that?
It's great. So you're getting your wings early, but they
reheat.
Worth it. Yeah.
Fine.
They do.
I do it every Monday.
They do.
Pop them in the oven.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Toaster oven or the oven.
Toaster oven will work just fine.
So.
And Appetizer Tuesday is tomorrow.
Yes. Fried pickles.
Fried pickles tomorrow.
Pickles.
Or maybe something.
Or maybe.
But definitely not all. Happened.
Correct. So, that is
not
correct.
I learned
from that.
My lesson.
Hope you got yelled. Did she yell at you?
No,
Bob did.
Oh, Bob did.
Thanks, Bob.
The real. Yeah.
We'll be getting all these emails of people complaining.
Austin said that I could get anything.
Yeah.
Today, I want a cheese.
Who is
today.
Austin?
that's a fair question. Too. We're going to let Nicole get out of here. We're going to come back and talk a lot more about Ohio State on Letterman Live. It is brought to you by Roosters. It's a fun, casual joint.
Everybody knows that Roosters is a fun, casual joint. But the truth is, it is so much more. It's a quick stop on the way home to sit back and unwind. It's a front row seat to the big game. It's a place where you will always find a friendly face. And the home of wings so big you won't believe it. It's your family's other dinner table. So yeah, we're a lot of things to a lot of people. Roosters, a fun, casual joint.
Precision engineering. Rigorous attention to detail. A Bryant Evolution heating system is so well designed, it's as much of a joy to install as it is to use.
Good to go.
For the dealer nearest you, visit Bryant.com.
All right, welcome back into the Letterman Lounge for Letterman Live. It is brought to you by Roosters. It's a fun casual joint. And talked about Zach Harrison there, Bob. His decision to come back, he's always been one of the most private people with his plans dating back to his recruitment. It was hard to get a feel for exactly what he wanted to do. I think the feedback he probably got from the draft process was, haven't produced quite enough to be a first or second round pick. You might want to go back to school, but think there's always that dilemma or the debate in his head. Still a five-star athlete with all that kinds of potential, maybe still gets drafted on that. Are you surprised at all by his decision and what all went into it? That process is complicated.
Oh, he's a smart kid. I mean, Columbus guy, went to Olentangy. I mean, he gets it. I would hope that he would be self-aware enough to understand that his production this year didn't align with where he would have liked to have been drafted. And so he still has a lot of great physical traits. And those things are going to be true, but he needs to come back and be able to marry those traits with production, because that's what people want to see. They want to see productive players who possess the traits to be able to do that same thing at the next level. And he has those traits, and he's shown flashes of production, but it comes down to the consistency piece, being able to be somebody. Like, you want to be like Nick Bosa and be somebody who you're watching, like, I don't even know how we're going to block this guy. The only thing that can happen is that he runs into his own teammate and hurts his neck.
Oh, boy.
And then that's the way that we get him off the field. But if you want to be like those guys, like, you have to impact games like those guys. And so he's seen Chase and Nick and all the Joey and everybody that's came before him. And so he understands what it is. I don't think he's delusional, like, hey, I didn't have 14 sacks this year. And so hopefully he can come back, another year of experience. And here's the thing. When he came in, he was much more raw than the Boses. Mm-hmm. Chase was more developed than him, but he's, you know, Chase wasn't near those guys either. But Chase was able to develop. It took him 3. There's no shame. We get in this thing now where, like, oh, it's like college basketball. We're like, hey, if I came in, I'm a 5-star. If I'm not out in a year or two, then I'm bad. Something's wrong. Like, there are guys who are 4th-year players who get taken in the top 10. Like, that's a reality because everybody just matures at different rates, and sometimes you're a little bit more raw. And football as a sport, and especially the NFL, like, you can't draft on potential like the NBA. You know what happens? You get fired in one season, okay? Like, dudes get fired in 1 or 2 years.
Yeah.
And then we can't take, hey, in 3 or 4 years, this guy will be really good for us. 3 or 4 years, I'm going to be fired. You're going to cut.
There's three more coaches by the time 4 years get
That doesn't work. So you need to come out being as polished as you can possibly be.
Yeah, we got to remember, this guy coming out of high school, right? He was, I mean, I don't want to say track star, but I mean, he was running on track.
Track speed.
I mean, yeah, he had track speed. So, I mean, it was going to be a project to get the weight on him to really get him where he needed to be. And, you know, coming into last year, it was a time where, man, you heard a lot about him, right? I mean, he took over the leadership role. He was more vocal. He was more into things. And we expected to see it. It just wasn't there. You know, like Bob talked, just the consistency, you know, taking over games, making sure they have to put two people on you. And I think
You're a hater for saying that, Justin.
Well, maybe so.
You're a hater. That's what people, like, pointing out the obvious.
Well, yeah. Back, well, in today's society, for
you're
sure.
A hater. But this you're hating on him.
This has worked against Zach Harrison. These comments that exist are because he's being held to a standard that's
100%.
Probably not, you know, fair or reasonable for everyone who is a five-star top five. Yep. I don't know what his final numbers were, Berm. If he was the number one overall player in the country at one point, he was. But, you know.
Well, it's hard to hit that year in and year out. Which
that expectation, as Bob says, you factor in that not everyone is going to mature and physically learn the game at the same speed. To label him as a bust because he hasn't been the clear-cut Chase Young Heisman Trophy finalist defensive end is unfair, for one. And for two, there's no reason that he couldn't still become that. And for number three, he is still the most productive player on Ohio State's defensive line. Not just that Haskell Garrett is gone. Zach Harrison led the team in tackles for loss last year, and we can make a case if 8 should be enough for that or not. But he did.
The rest of the line was inefficient and unproductive as well. So he was the most productive of the unproductive.
Great.
But I think it's just
valedictorian of summer school.
Right. You have to remember in high school football recruiting, and it's not a knock on Zeb Schroeder and Olentangy Orange High School. Nick Bosa and Joey Bosa came out of St. Thomas Aquinas in Fort Lauderdale, one of the best programs in the entire country for weight training, for training, for development.
If you're going to bash Central Ohio high school football here, Berm, you can just walk on out of here.
Oh, come on now.
I'm not going to listen you sit here and speak nonsense about
everyone's. You start getting in Northeast Ohio, I got a problem. But down here, I'm going to allow it.
We'll allow it here in Central Ohio.
Everyone's developed at a different rate. So you look at Zach Harrison coming out of high school, sure, he's 6'5" and 240 pounds and ran a 22.2 in the 200 and an 11.01 in the 100. And that size, that's kind of ridiculous and freaky. But he still didn't know how to play football.
You know why? Because OHSA doesn't let us have spring ball. That's the real issue.
Oh, there's him.
Talking to you right now, OHSA.
So now Bob does have a problem. Central Ohio.
It's not an Ohio thing in general. It's like more of a Midwest.
Well, up in the Northeast Ohio, we get around that rule a little.
He's built it indoor and locked the doors.
Exactly. Blackout windows.
It does play a role in the development and how long it takes for these guys to get to that point where they're hitting the expectation of what they had coming out of high school. But, again, Zach is also one of the younger seniors in that class. He's a young 21-year-old now. I think he's just turned 21.
Like Paris Campbell.
Right. So he's a young guy, and I just don't think – you know, I see people who respond to this and say, oh, well, who cares? It's not a big – any guy that comes back that's played for 4 years is better than a guy that hasn't played.
People get so caught up in your recruiting rankings, Berm, and you chasing down these dudes at high school parking lots.
I do not personally recruit them. So,
or high school parties.
And all these high school parties. Oh, this guy's going to be great. Oh, hey, I'm going to tell you this.
You know what? The older I get, they say this.
They really do.
I'm going to tell you this, dude. Anthony Schlegel rolling out there at like 25 years old, 24 and a half, taking on some 17.
Yeah, right?
Because, this dude's a man. He drinks beer on the way to practice.
Yes.
He's got a full beard, and like he's already like starting to get arthritis and be old. I mean, that's the difference. There's those guys coming back, and you need to look no further than Oklahoma State's defense this year, where like their top 11 dudes were all fourth-year guys and older. I mean, it helps to be more physically
There's
mature.
There's a reason why Wichita State every fourth year in basketball is one of the best programs in the country, because you have a bunch of 23-year-olds playing against a bunch of 17-year-olds, and that's what happens.
Yeah, I think the reason that I bring it up this way
is that the guy you're most excited about coming back? Is that what we're circling back?
He's not, but I just think it's an interesting conversation because you and I both got, whether that was on the message board at Letterman Row or our social media accounts, like,
yes.
Oh, should Ohio State want Zach Harrison? And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like,
it's amazing. Isn't
I'd rather see, you know, JT get these reps and Jack Sawyer develop. I'm like, all right, well, Ohio State plays more than two defensive and then every team.
Yeah, did they not see him rotate last year?
They're going to rotate. This is another five-star athlete that there's no reason to kick to the curb
no.
in any situation. You rotate, he's an incredible athlete. Did he get the sacks that he wanted? No. But if you're going to play in this Leo or Jack stand-up role, Zach Harrison's still going to be one of the most appealing people.
And beyond that, he's a guy that you want on.
Mm. High
he was a
kid.
Captain of the Buckeyes last year. I just don't.
It's not like he was some, you know, bleep head. You know?
No, he's a high character. He's a high character human.
A bleep head.
Self-censoring.
It'd be nice if we could get a little more of an edge to him.
Yeah.
You know, maybe take him out of Olin Tangi, South Linden, spend a couple nights down there, get the shankopotamus out. You know. Realize what it takes, you know, when you're starving, you know, how to you got to survive.
How to eat.
Mm-hmm. How's she going to eat? I mean, you know, I mean, that's real. But I can't imagine. I always look at a guy, and Justin, I played with him, Will Allen, who played at Ohio State, who played like 13 years in the NFL. Yeah. And Will was a starting nickelback as a junior and didn't become like a full-time starter till his senior year, and then was an All-American drafted in like the third or fourth round and went on to play.
Made a couple of the biggest plays in Ohio State.
100%, but like nobody was saying like, oh, I mean, this guy, like, oh, we're going to start a first-year starter at senior safety. Like, let's get these young guys out here and see what they can do. I mean, he was behind some really good players. Like, just things work out at different rates, and it's fine. It's perfectly okay for that to be the case.
All right, but that doesn't mean he was my pick.
So. Who was your pick?
Probably Marvin Harrison after what I saw.
Starvin Marvin.
Route man Marv.
Route man.
Only five catches.
Shouldn't we just pick an offensive player and a defensive player? Because I feel like this could get away from us.
I just assumed that you guys were going to pick like 10 guys Schlage style anyway.
Yeah,
so,
we'll take one.
I just.
Schlage style sounds good.
And what's the question?
Who do you want to see
come
back?
Most excited. Returning?
Nicole picked the defensive line.
And she.
Smart.
That was a Schlage move to start that segment off right away. Marvin Harrison, that was quite a performance in the Rose Bowl. I think I was already excited about what we'd seen throughout spring ball last year and then training camp, and his name was coming over the loudspeakers an awful lot. But you had those three really good receivers right there. It was hard to crack into the lineup. Well, he's going to be there now, and he sure looks ready. I think it's exciting to see what he can do out there alongside Jackson and Emeka Ibuka and Jaden Ballard and Julian Fleming. Brian Hartline's got the bag.
It's insane, isn't it?
Cameron Babb, keep it rolling.
Cameron Babb getting
that. Oh, yeah. Cameron Babb coming back.
Yeah, he's coming back.
I pray that he doesn't tear his ACL.
He's graduated from
Ohio
State.
Has he done both of them already?
Oh, he's torn his ACL three times.
Is it three times?
He's graduated from Ohio State and has 4 years of eligibility left.
Yeah, I mean, it's remarkable. But who I'm looking at, there's two guys. I'm going to take two, and I don't care what you say about it.
I don't have any problem with it. It's a fun casual
one of
conversation.
Them, it's very casual. I mean, slipped a dollar on the nightstand. Listen, it's that type of cash. But anyway, the two guys that I'm looking at, one guy who's played a lot but has battled some injury and I think played really well last year, and I think as we saw in the game up in Ann Arbor this year, has a high GSF. He walks with the shank.
Wow,
he likes him.
Cam, my man,
you throw a helmet.
My man, Cam.
You throw
Brown.
A helmet. You got an attitude. We like it here.
He's going to have to be a leader of this defense. And I thought, when Cam Brown, I've watched him play, I thought this guy has first round potential when he was younger.
Yeah.
Now, this year, you know, he comes off a blown Achilles, had some ups and downs. But once he was kind of back and healthy, he did a pretty good job. Played the ball as well as anybody in the secondary. And I think you give him a full offseason of health. And to be able to come back, I think that's a big deal. He's going to be a fifth year guy. And it's not like, oh, he just didn't pan out. He wasn't as good. He looked really good. Remember when he had to fill in a couple years ago at Team Michigan? Looked good.
Yep.
Looked good. And then get caught by the injury bug. So I'm excited for him to come back, lead this defense. He has the attitude. He has all the physical ability you want to put together a great year. Maybe a little a la Damon Arnett. Have that final great senior season. Hopefully. Yeah.
Is that stay off the social media.
Cam's a great kid. He's a character with character.
That's
the type of guy that you want. And then the other one is Mitchell Melton, who, you know, we sit there and like, why are the linebackers? Oh, why is this? I'm like, listen, one of the guys who was supposed to be really good, who is a guy who's big and fast and can do a lot of things, is Mitchell Melton. And he – had a leg injury as well. They kept him out for a whole year.
Lower extremity.
And it's like, man, like Al Johnson, like, what do you, they got this guy. It's not their fault. It's not even his fault he got hurt. Sometimes just crap just happens.
Yeah.
And so I'm excited to see what a guy like him can do. You pair him up there with Steele, with Tuff, with Cody, and it's like all of a sudden now you've got, you know, three guys who have played a lot, and then a guy who's got a lot of physical ability.
Wait, tough.
Or not tough. I said Cody.
You're talking about Tommy.
Evolutionary tough.
Yes, evolution. Taller, a little stronger, and faster tough. Tommy, Cody, and
Steele.
There. And then those are mine.
Chip train them. I mean,
train them coming in.
An improved unit.
Should be.
A firm and strong unit.
I'm going to stay there for my first one, which is Steele Chambers.
I mean,
how big is having a full year of playing linebacker, being in that room, being around? I mean, you're going to be learning a new defense, I guess.
I don't know if it's a full year. They flipped him in the middle.
Well, fair, yeah. I mean, yeah, right?
Camp.
But I'm just saying, I mean, being able to kind of build off what he was able to do this year, yeah. I think he could be a big-time player for us in that defense next year. So I'll go there. And then, you know, CJ, yeah, we're all excited to see him come back. Jackson, Mayan Williams.
You love him.
I do love Mayan Williams. And I think when he was put in this year, he did what he needed to do. I don't think he's going to be a number one. I think Trey is going to be hopefully stay healthy next year. Doesn't have, you know, get banged up throughout the season, although it is tough. But if he does get banged up, man, it's nice to have Mayan Williams there to tote that rock for us and get us some tough yards. I think he
has a change up. I mean,
well, yes,
two guys.
Yes. Which, I mean, we have multiple guys in that room, so don't get me wrong, but
yeah.
I forget what his nickname
Evan
is now.
Breyer comes.
Meatball, chop,
meatball,
yeah, whatever
meatball.
It is.
Meatball.
Some cut
of meat.
It doesn't work.
No, he likes chop, right?
He likes chop. He wants to be pork chop.
Pork chop.
And
pork chops are good. They're undervalued.
Like, you're not going to force your own nickname on the public. Like, everyone already wanted to call him meatball. And there's
You got two different kinds of meat. I mean, if he wants to be pork,
you can have pork meatball.
But a pork chop is way different than a meatball.
And then he just limited his name, image, and likeness opportunity. Like, just go pitch a meatball sandwich. It's so easy.
Wow, we've really gone there. This has turned out well.
What did you think was going to happen?
I don't know.
We just got to make sure that Mayan is on that great weight regiment with Mickey Marotti, comes in even trimmer and leaner and powerful and explosive and, you know, not...
Again, pork is a leaner meat.
And it's the other white meat.
That's what they say. Oh, wow.
You did this.
Julian Fleming.
this is your fault.
Julian Fleming is one of my guys here in this conversacion. Provided that he's able to go full go.
Another guy who's kind of been bit by the...
You know, he got hurt again in the Rose Bowl.
He hurt himself in the
Rose Bowl. What happened to him in the Rose Bowl?
He separated his shoulder.
Is that what it was?
And then went back in and then threw a pretty nasty stiff arm with it. And
the other shoulder. So he had a long-term issue dating back to high school in his other shoulder.
Right.
That had surgery for last offseason. So,
provided there's no...
You would hope that the other shoulder now doesn't keep him out of spring.
Separation's
provided there's no interior damage or anything like that that requires any sort of cleanup or surgery, I think that he's in for a big spring. And I just think that he's the guy... You know, we talk about Brian Hartline as a developer of talent. This is... Julian Fleming is sort of the pièce de résistance here to be like, hey, can you actually take this guy? He's everything you want athletically, so but funny. He didn't really ever play wide receiver in a traditional way. He played in basically a wing tee offense in high school. He's the number one ranked receiver in the country, but he was also very, very raw.
Number one receiver in the country, you played in a wing.
Well, because they threw the ball.
You
know who else was the number one receiver in college football who played in like a triple option? Calvin Johnson.
Right.
So you know what?
Well, fair.
I'm okay with that. two guys on
okay, one. That's, yeah, okay. Yeah, give him Calvin
anytime.
You got
to show him how to play wide receiver, and he's getting there, and I think it's going to be a huge year for Julian Fleming. Defensively, I was going to say Mitchell Melton.
But wow. Stole him.
Bob stole it like a jerk. And
but that just means two votes for Mitchell Melton.
So I'm going to say
two votes, one ballot.
Cody Simon's one of those guys who, again, if he's healthy, I think he's going to be a big part of things. Court Williams has to be.
Oh yeah, jailhouse.
But then you have Josh Proctor back. There's a lot of pieces.
Oh, I forgot about Proctor.
Oh, see, and I was just getting ready to talk about Josh Proctor.
Yeah,
he told me that
yours.
I needed to talk about defense,
but I also
now Berm has taken 15 different
guys. One spot that I really think the Buckeyes have an opportunity. One spot I think the Buckeyes have an opportunity to make a difference is their return game. And I think I really believe that Emeka Egbuka as a kick returner and hopefully Cameron Martinez returning punts is a game changer for Ohio State.
Still on the Cam Martinez train.
Because if he gets the ball, he's a difference maker. And I don't know why you would put Jackson Smith and Jigba back. Now, unless Cam can't catch the ball in punts, in punt practice or whatever, I don't think that's the
case. It is hard. You ever tried?
I haven't, but I know he has.
It's very hard.
It's hard. It's not easy.
So I think that the Buckeyes can change things around a little bit by being super aggressive on special teams.
So are you predicting I got a lot of dudes that Ohio State's going to have a punt return for a touchdown?
At some point next year, someone's going to return a punt.
Wow, where did you get a crazy bold prediction like that?
We don't do bold predictions here. Next guy, who you want to talk about?
Yeah, Josh Proctor.
One-armed bandit.
He was really on the way, I thought.
I was thinking of a guy that's willing to shank someone. Josh Proctor would.
That's
on the field.
That's a little bit too much for Josh Proctor.
I don't know.
Did you see what he did at the last play that was
well, game? Yeah, but he does. I guess my point is he doesn't need the shank. He will just straight up murder you.
Well, that's fine.
By running full speed.
By running at
until you are buried in the ground.
That was
he doesn't
amazing.
Need a weapon.
By being a man.
Ryan Clark sat there. He's like, he literally.
Put the gun down, Craig.
He 100%. He loved Josh
Proctor.
Put the
knock
down. Josh Proctor the whole time. And he'd always say, like, I love him. Like, dude. It's great. I'm worried sometimes that he's going to hit the wrong dude or do. He's like, and after that play, literally, phone, he's like, your boy is amazing. Final play of the game, not taking it off, and ended a guy's life on the sideline.
Yeah, Josh Proctor. So, you know, I don't know what they will do in terms of pitch count reps going into spring. I thought that my understanding was that it would be 4 to 6 weeks before he could get out of the cast and then start working his way back. We saw him late in the year back on the sideline, just sort of walking around. I don't know the extent of all of the rehab process for him, but the timeline projected that he could be ready for March and April. Now, I don't know if they don't want to push it, but
I think he'll be,
get this guy. Yeah. He is an NFL talent at safety.
I mean, if he's ready to go in spring, they'll have him out there, right? Because you're going to want as many reps as possible with getting these calls.
And play in the three safety look.
He might end up being a non-contact guy in the spring, just precautionary. Yeah. But, like, for safety, for what he's going to be able to do, it's just the feel of getting out there, being able to see it. It's like a quarterback being non-contact.
Yeah, being back there, seeing everybody move in front of you and getting them lined up.
No one needs to see Josh Proctor hit anybody. That is all. As a matter of fact,
that can be done.
I think Ryan Day would prefer that Josh Proctor didn't hit anybody in practice for what he might
keep
do.
Keep people healthy.
When everybody is wearing scarlet gray uniforms, you probably don't want Josh
Same
Proctor.
Same thing.
With Lathan's injury, with Josh coming back from injury.
Yeah, I forgot about Lathan.
They need to make sure that those guys at safety are getting an opportunity to see things unfold.
So Tanner McAllister will be part of that conversation as well. This has been a fun, casual one at Roosters. It's Letterman Live. As always, it is brought to you by Roosters. Going to keep going all year. We're never going to stop talking about these Buckeyes and football all year. That's Jay-Z, Bob Berm. I'm Austin. Appreciate Nicole Cox for having us in here. We'll be back next week. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time at Roosters.